Hi there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome back to the podcast. We have had a few weeks off for Christmas, and I'm excited to be back at the start of 2022 to share some more episodes from the series Behind the Business, where I've been talking to small business owners about the motivation and drive that's led them to start their businesses and find out what it takes to run those businesses and kind of get some hints and tips about the online side of running that business as well. This episode, I've really been looking forward to sharing with you. I talked with Nikki Jones, who runs an online book subscription business called The Bookish Mindset. And it was just such a joy talking to Nikki because her love and passion for books really shines through throughout the entire episode. And as a self-confessed book nerd myself, it was really fun to just geek out with her and get loads of inspiration for titles to go off and read as well. If you have a passion like Nikki does, if you really love something and you are thinking about trying to turn that passion into a business, then you will love this episode because the enthusiasm is just infectious. So I hope you enjoyed this. I won't be popping back at the end. So I will make sure that all of the things that Nikki talks about are in the show notes. And let us know what you think of the episode, of course, by heading over to iTunes and leaving a review. All right, enjoy. Thank you so much, Nikki, for joining us on Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners for this episode. I was delighted to be able to find out more about you and your business after we connected online, but I don't think I'm going to do it much justice. So would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself? Like your origin story, essentially, like who are you, where have you come from, and what has led you to this moment today?
Okay, well, firstly, thank you so much for having me on. It is a pleasure to be on here. So where do I come from? My background really is in engineering. I studied engineering through uni, and that is my full-time job as well. Whereas my, I don't know whether part-time is even the right word, my own business is a book subscription service. So I've not come from a business background. I've come from a project managing engineering automotive background and still absolutely love that. But yeah, sort of over lockdown, as I think quite a few people did, we had a lot of time to think, a lot of time to slow down and sort of reassess maybe what else there was we wanted to do in the world. And I've always been an avid reader. I've read since I was a little kid, just thoroughly loved it. And I love giving recommendations to people and then finding out that they love the books as well. That fills me with such joy. I've started a book subscription service, which entails every month I create a new box that gets sent out to subscribers, also available sort of one-offs as well, or one-off boxes. In those boxes, there is a book. I switch between a fiction and non-fiction each month, and that purely came about because that's how I like to read, and actually that's what I was looking for myself. I had been subscribed to other sort of book subscription services and enjoyed them, but I really like that switch between different genres. So it started because it's something I was looking for myself. And then the sort of deep we dive, it's very inspired by a lot of businesses around me. I live in Portsmouth, South England, and during lockdown we did lots of little walks out when we could. I really sort of found my town, I guess. I found so many more incredible small businesses around us that were just absolutely thriving or just working so hard to keep going, and it was huge inspiration. So a big part of the box is, and something that's very important to me, is supporting those small businesses. So not only do you get a book in these boxes, which is bought through an independent bookshop here in Southsea, there are also two other gifts from small businesses around the UK. And so we're, by what we're doing, we're supporting independent bookshops and we're supporting small businesses as well. And there's also a cup of tea because I love sitting down with a tea and a book. That's kind of how it came to be. The other thing we hold quite close is sort of race and diversity, that we're trying to be as diverse and inclusive, not just in terms of the authors, but the stories and the small businesses as well. So it's a bit of a happy box. I like to describe it. There's lots of goodness that's gone into it. Definitely comes from a place of love from my side, and helping people either get back into reading or find books that perhaps aren't as obviously shouted about by bookshops, you know, finding new things, finding different things. And the same with the small businesses, and finding these wonderful small businesses you may not have heard of before. But yeah, I started in February of this year, 2021. And it's been growing ever since. And I'm just
excited. So your background is in engineering and automotive. Are you still working in that area?
I am, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Right. So kind of developing the bookish mindset definitely was something that was a kind of a lockdown project for you then, right?
Definitely. Yeah. It started over lockdown. The thinking sort of started a little while back, maybe October 2020. And it kind of flourished into something that was potentially a business, and then here we are.
How did you turn it into an actual like business then? Like, you know, what was your thinking in terms of, well, how am I going to make money from doing this? Like, had you been inspired by other book subscription services, or did you just wake up in the middle of the night thinking, oh, that's what I'm going to do? What kind of led you to that in particular?
There was definitely inspiration from other book subscription services. I'm not the first one to do that. No. You know, and subscription services, not just in book form, have been sort of growing rapidly in over the UK. I have no data to back that up, other than I know I've got a lot more subscriptions. I've got subscriptions for toilet rolls, for razors. There's everything now you can get on subscription, which makes it easy. It's through your door. It's a nice package to open. The book subscription ones I had myself, I loved getting them through the post, getting something new to read, some little presents in there as well for myself. I found such joy myself in that sort of lovely package. It's from talking to people. My friends know that I am a big reader and would, and you know, I'll talk to anyone if they let me about what I'm reading at the moment. And
you're a book bore.
I am. I absolutely am. So it was really a combination of them. I love what they were doing. It never started kind of, well, I've never had this plan in my life to go, right, well, I will open my business one day. It's also, I've had a little bit organically of, oh, well, I really enjoy doing this. Well, I'm very much enjoying my day job. It's almost like two halves of my brain. There's a very scientific project management, very clear cut. Side, and then there's this also very creative side. While I've never creatively sort of written, but I find reading is sort of that curation of this product quite creative, so it feels like you're using a completely different part of my brain, which is quite refreshing, quite exciting.
So did you in terms of being inspired by other businesses then, did you think, well, I'll just go and buy up 10 books of 10 of my favorite books and I'll go and tell my friends about this to get it up and running? Like, how did you get it off the ground, as it were?
So I started it as an Instagram page, and started it more as a sort of book Instagram account, and I think that's what kind of led to the idea as a business.
An account where you like reviewed books essentially?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I wouldn't bore every man and his dog that's already followed me about everything I was reading. I sort of set it up as a separate account. It's sort of that little bit of privacy sort of helps you sort of, I think, say what you need to say without any embarrassment, I guess. But it's also nervousness of stepping out of comfort zone and out into a new territory. I've never studied English up past GCSE and what you kind of had to through school, so it still very much feels like it's very new, the writing side of it. But I've always read, I've always loved books, and that's the bit I do know. It started as an Instagram page, so there was this lovely, there's a wonderful bookstagram sort of following. There's a great place on Instagram.
This is the hashtag place that people use on Instagram, right? Bookstagram, right?
And it's a wonderful place. It's genuinely very, very, it can be a very nice place, like lots of different social medias. There's lovely places and they're not so lovely, but Bookstagram is a wonderful place to start. And at the time when it first started, thinking, well, maybe I could do this, maybe I should do this as a business, why don't I try it? Very fortunate to have a full-time job and was working throughout a pandemic. So it was very much, why don't I try it kind of thing. I'm not a risk taker by any stance, but this was scary and new, and it just got going. So it definitely started with Instagram. I'm a sucker for an email and a promotional email. So as soon as I had this idea, yeah. I'm sold to very easily. Let's put it that way.
So it's so interesting because in my membership, in the Supercharged website membership, I have to sometimes drag my members kicking and screaming to sign up with an email marketing tool because they're like, I don't want to appear annoying. But I'm like, some people love emails. I love getting emails. I'm exactly like you. I find it really exciting when there's new lovely offers from people I've chosen to hear about, right?
Exactly. I'm a sucker for a sale or for anyone selling me something. I will happily listen. I'm my ideal client. I think that's how a lot of us start. But yeah, it started Instagram. And it started as soon as I had the idea. I was like, right, I need a website. I need an email list. I know how these work. I know just from personal experience, I don't even know what I can source from that, but I know email list, that is something that I wanted to do. And it was a way of creatively starting to write and started to gain a following and started to gain some, you know, contact details and all that goodness. And I said, I was trying to work out what I could do. I've seen people do daily emails and I think that's not for me. I'm not doing this full time. This is not something I can commit to. In my head, I went, right, I can commit to one day a week. I do a Friday morning email. There's a little bit of blabbering about what I read. There's a bit of niceness and a little bit of a hug in an email, and then said, hey, here's what's happening this week on the Bookish Mindset. Here's what's happening this month, and sort of a little bit of a detail and update. And I found, and here's kind of growing from there. The website I didn't have set up straight away. That was sort of slowly building that in the background, totally new to it again.
What did you build your website in?
I'm on Wix and I'm still learning. And
what made you decide on Wix? Was it a recommendation, or you'd used it before?
I've done a bit of research on what would be best, and yeah, I got a lot of recommendations from friends. I was asking lots of people that had recently started businesses, or you know, you can just see on the bottom of the website sometimes, can't you, that they use Wix and all things like that.
So yeah, the free ones. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So I had a little look around. I did some research, and got some recommendations. I'm finding it okay so far. There's definitely some limitations, so I might move away from that one day, but right now for the learning setup, I'm finding it okay, and it all interlinks with your emails and bits and bobs. So, and yeah, my emails were always through Wix as well, so I've never used MailChimp, but I hear lots of good things about all the other bits.
So yeah. You use the inbuilt it's a send,
yeah,
isn't it?
I do.
The built-in Wix email.
Yeah, I do. And I'm finding it quite nice because maybe it's some project management engineering side, but I very much like continuity and try and keep things very similar and some very familiar. So all my email content is quite similar. It's quite familiar. And it's a very easy sort of copy and paste style design. Once I played around and worked at how I wanted it, it's very easy. I'd go in, I sort of copy this again and rewrite the next week's email. And I like that you can stagger them and post them. So, for example, if I'm away for a week or away from my home office on a Friday, then I can write it on the Wednesday and get it scheduled and post it out, which I think is brilliant as well. And I'm sure that's on other things as well. I just very easily entertained.
I love this, by the way. I love that you tapped into your intuition about being a consumer online and just looked around you and thought, well, okay, well, I like these. So this is, you know, I like subscription and subscription boxes. So this is something I could do to delight people. And I like emails. I know where my people are. They're talking on Instagram under a particular hashtag. You know, that comes definitely, I've talked to many, many business owners on this podcast, and it definitely comes from a place of when you're really passionate about your product.
Definitely.
You do, because you're already your ideal customer in many ways, aren't you?
Exactly that. Yeah. I mean, and Instagram is interesting. It started as I wanted to do a new page for Instagram, and just not with even business, but I wanted to find a place for books. At the start of 2020, I set myself a goal of reading one book a week.
Oh, which how did you get on?
I got 40 in a year, which I'm still quite happy with. Didn't quite make it, but for me, it wasn't necessarily the number. It was making more time for myself to read. I had a lot as a kid, a lot through primary school, high school. It kind of dipped. Uni, it dipped because I had to read everything that was on my course. And then life gets in the way, and I went, right, I'd be reading odds and sods, but not really making the time. I think that was more important for me. For me, reading, as much as it is enjoyment, it's a downtime. It calms me. It makes me happy. I love reading happy things. And it's an educator as well. I'd absolutely love to, you know, carry on learning. So there's lots of things in there, but I wasn't perhaps as good as making the time. So for me, it started as, right, I want to read a book a week because that is going to mean I'm going to make time for myself. And then, yeah, started to put it on Instagram and I found this wonderful community. But then what was interesting when I was starting my business, I was going, right, well, this is a community of people. This is great. Here are my ideal clients. But actually, it was quite interesting going, actually, as I sort of found out as I started, these aren't my ideal clients. These are people like me that know what books they want to read, how to find them, how to find more books like that, et cetera. So these were absolutely not my ideal clients whatsoever.
Interesting. And when did the penny drop about that? When
honestly,
were you like?
It was the first or second month. It was quite quick. It wasn't a detriment to me at all. I should say that it was relatively quick and going, aha, I've missed something here. I started it in this place that lots of people know where to find the books they like or to find this. And that's fine. And that's great. And it definitely helped me flourish and find a bit more confidence in what I was saying, what I was doing. But then it was trying to find a sort of redesign. Yes, I'm definitely my own ideal client. That's where it started. But actually, there's more to that. There's different age groups that I'm reaching here. There's maybe this actually is for people that don't know where to find good books, different books, or people that want to start reading. And, or, you know, there's lots of other questions I was asking, and that sort of all developed over the last six, seven, are we in month eight? I think we're in month eight of it now. So yeah, it started on Instagram, but it's not come away from Instagram in that I'm still very much active, and that's sort of my main social media point, because I think that's where a lot of my ideal clients are. But where there's been a lot of learning in between.
Yeah, I bet. So I've got all the questions. I need to know about this. So like, you know, yeah, but as you're talking, I'm just like, okay, so this is a subscription service where you send out a physical product to people on a monthly basis. You know, what have been the issues and problems you've encountered doing that in a sort of post-COVID world of, you know, dealing with mailing providers and post-Brexit when postage is like a little bit more expensive overseas and whatnot? And then like, what's life like packing the subscription boxes up every month? I once knew a kids book subscription service, and there was a day where I could not contact her because she said my living room looks like the inside of a cardboard factory. And I could just imagine, like, you have the same issues, right?
Absolutely. So I'll start with the posting first. So firstly, well, I decided quite quickly that I was going to include postage all over the UK, because that's flat rate. I'll go, right, that's easy. That's non-negotiable. That's what I want to do, because then it's one price. That's it for everyone. That's how I would want to buy. I hate getting to the checkout and going, oh, there's another £3 on there. I probably won't buy it.
That's your intuition kicking in again. I love it.
So that was quite early on that I decided that. So it's free postage, or the cost is included postage for anyone in the UK. I've now started opening up to the world, but there's an extra charge on top of that. Yet to have that open world, but it's more, I've started to do in-person markets down here in Southend. Someone asked, do you post abroad? I went, well, I haven't been asked, but yes, of course I can. There might be an extra charge kind of thing. And so I started, so that's now on the website, that's there. So it's easy for the UK, it goes. And actually July, I've had my first box lost. There's only one that wasn't delivered. So between now and then, it's a fair few hundred. I'm quite impressed, actually. I've done all right. I go through the Royal Mail because it's just dropping it off at the post office. I can print everything online. I'm absolutely a control freak. So if I can make sure I've printed it, I've got it, I can hand it over to the post office and go, there you go, postal parcel, and get a proof of postage, and I'm happy. As it grows, I've started to look into sort of larger collections, but as it works at the moment, the box gets sent the day the payment comes out. So when your payment comes out, your box gets sent the next day. Not too many issues so far. Not expecting many more, granted, but yes, and hopefully not many more. And all my suppliers are in the UK as well. So all the
Your independent book.
Yes, my bookshop. I just do from one bookshop, and because it's the one literally down the road from me. They opened during COVID. And I just absolutely love them. They're called Pigeon Books, and I love them for this. But then all my sort of supplies as well. So all the other gifts that go in there, they're small businesses. They're all UK based as well. And that's from an ease as much as anything else point of view, and yeah, customs and that. So,
And we were just sort of talking about the packing process as well. But before we do that, actually, is How do you select the books then? Do Pigeon like make a recommendation to you of what's hot and what's not, or do you read them first before you put them? You do,
of course, yeah. So this is the other reason I started it, because it's like I'm getting paid to read books. This is an absolute job.
Oh my god, this is my ideal job. You're just saying it out loud.
So I switch between fiction and non-fiction each month. So each month that I'm doing, so I'm with September as we record this now. So October's is already sorted. November, I've got a final thing, but December, so I'll know which month is fiction and non-fiction. I theme each box. And to choose that theme, I look at sort of important dates within that month, or maybe if there's a sort of global or even just UK-based month. So, for example, October is Black History Month, June is Pride Month. In April we have World Earth Day, so I like to theme the boxes around those days. So for example, April was World Earth Day. It was a non-fiction, so I had a beautiful book called Braiding Sweetgrass, which was about an indigenous woman who lives I'm going to say North America. I hope it's North America, not Canada. North America. Her heritage is indigenous, and she talks about all these wonderful ways of her people, how they look after the land and everything. And then the gifts in there, we had a reusable tote bag and a canvas tote bag, which is printed by a wonderful woman in Selsey, and we had plastic-free sheet masks, so like your pamper, not sheet masks in COVID, but like the sheet face masks, plastic-free ones that you add tea to, and they expand to make these beautiful, wonderful things. So we try and theme everything around that. So when I'm choosing, I know with non-fiction or fiction, then I look for the theme, decide the theme, and then I'll read between 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 books around that theme, and basically choose my favorite one and put that in the box. So all the books I'm choosing, I've read around that theme, and I absolutely love the books to the point I will talk for hours about them, because I'm how passionate I am about these books.
So the content that you write online and on Instagram in particular just comes really easy to you then?
Absolutely. It's all stuff I love. I wouldn't put in something that I wouldn't sell to myself or wouldn't enjoy myself. And I think that to me is quite important. I'm not a good liar, to be honest. So I'm not going to try and sell something that I don't believe in myself. So.
Yeah. And then talk us through post day then, you know, packing day. What's that like in your house?
It's quite fun, really.
How is it?
It's quite fun. I quite enjoy that. I don't want to say monotonous, but that ordered. Stamp the box, fold the box, put the packaging fluff in, put the book in. It's quite lovely, that order. That definitely plays into me, that structure and order and organisation. For a while, it was all over our living room. We had bookshelves with lots of bits on. I've now sort of shifted into the utility and I have half a room full of sort of varying shelves and boxes and bits. But yeah, it's good fun. So what I do with my boxes, the way I work is I buy in bulk, essentially. At the start of the month, I'll decide a number of boxes I will buy. And I purposely buy more than I've sold already, either through the subscription or like through a 3 or 6 month block I already do, so you can pay up for and get a bit of a discount. Mm-hmm. I purposely buy more, so I've always got some when I'm at the market. So I've got lots of different things rather than just one product. So I pack them all up. I do my best to pack them up at the start of the month, and then I've just got boxes to select from, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah, I quite enjoy it, really. That's
sort of doing that.
It's quite therapeutic, really.
Well, we're talking about different parts of your brain. Like it's again swapping over to a different part of your brain where you can get into a zone as you're doing it, right? I need to know, have you ever got to a month and thought, oh, I'm too tired to read. I'm too busy. I can't do this.
Yes. Sorry, interrupted that. Yes and no. I mean, don't get me wrong. It can be an effort to read quite a lot in a day, in a week. But for me, it's as much the downtime as anything else. So I've just been away for a week with in-laws, which has been wonderful, but I've read 5 books in a week and they're all gobsmacked that I can read that quickly. And I do read quickly. I'm by nowhere near it, you know, I'm nowhere like speed reading, but I read quick because I also love it and I want to know what happens. I need to know what happens at the end of the book. But it's my downtime. So when people are sat on their phones, I'll be sat with a book. sat waiting in a doctor's office. I've got the book is my downtime. I can quite happily not watch TV all night. I would rather sit and read a book. Yeah. And I will stay up till stupid o'clock in the morning because I don't want to put the book down.
Do you prefer like the tangible feel of a book with pages in your hand, or are you okay being on a Kindle?
Personally, I prefer the physical book.
Right. How many books have you got in your home, do you think?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't want to count. That's embarrassing. I'd hate to count. I think I'm up to 40 books already this year.
Okay.
So and at least 40 keep, on my shelves.
Do you keep books from days of yore, or do you like reselling them on and passing them on to people?
A big mix. So my parents recently moved out of their of my childhood home. So I have all my childhood books, like the ones I loved and would read again one day. So I've definitely got all them.
What were your favourite as a teenager? I used to read Point Horror. Uh-huh. And anything that was horror, that was that type of thing. And it took me down a route of getting really into kind of like classic horror. It was quite weird. Yeah. And so, yeah. Amazing. And I'm like, because it was trashy to begin with, but I was like, I want to read better. And I kind of loved that as a teenager. What were you into?
That's amazing. So I'm talking even earlier than that. I'm talking primary school and pre-primary school. That's how I just used to read. So I loved... I found it really interesting how I've swapped between genres quite a bit. When I was very young, I read a lot of fantasy, a lot of sci-fi. As I was growing up, and definitely sort of teenage, high school years, it was more rom-coms. And I've always loved contemporary romance. I'm such a sucker for a happy ending. I love it. I am. And and there's nothing wrong with that. They're not called guilty pleasures. They are books and they're wonderful. So, and I feel quite strongly. But some of my favourite, Noughts and Crosses is one that always stuck out to me by Mallory Blackman. That is incredible. I loved The Lord of the Rings as a kid, and The Hobbit. So there's a series that's by Paul Stewart called Beyond the Deep Woods, and it had these incredible illustrations through it as well, because I think I've always loved the creative side but not been particularly felt as really creative. So I love those as well. So yeah, they were definitely some of my favourites. And like A Series of Unfortunate Events, they were wonderful. But then we go into rom-com, and then I used to read a lot. So the books, I've sort of, so from last year when I bought mostly physical, and there's nothing wrong with e-readers because they're brilliant and they're great for holidays. So I won't sort of speak too negatively of them at all. And the same with libraries, the same with audiobooks. It's incredible. You don't have to own books to read them by any stance. For me, I prefer the physical. It's that there's an emotional connection to that book.
There's something about it, isn't there?
Especially when you fall in love with the characters, not necessarily romantically, but just there's some wonderful protagonists in some of these books and you feel such connection. So having them physically there.
That is a great way of putting it. I mean, like I love what you do. I'm a vivacious reader myself as well. And I've never set myself targets, but I've always got a few books on the go and I'll kind of go between them. But just because of the size of our house and everything, I have to have books on the Kindle, and because we've had people who have refused to help us move house before because they're like, oh, does that include all the boxes of books? And we're like, the books and records that we've got. It's like, and they're like, I'm really busy that day, I can't something wrong with my back, right? But it's the smell. It's the fact that you can turn the corner and come back to that page later really quickly. Exactly. It's the holding. It's definitely that physical connection, to the characters. I'd never thought of it like that, and I love it.
I'll be honest, last year when I started really reading again and buying again, and last year I tried to do more physical because I know that makes me read more rather than just seeing a Kindle on the side, seeing a book on the side that's sort of cool and you can see the beautifulness of its cover. I feel that makes me read more. Kindles are great for on holiday when you're reading thousands and you can't bring all them with you. But so definitely last year when I started buying more, I've got the books that I know I won't read again because I didn't enjoy that much or didn't make my heart sing. That sounds a bit... a bit sappy maybe, but the books I know I won't read again, I were very happy to pass on to friends that want to read them, or I've got a big stack ready. The last few months I've started sorting out and being a bit harsh with them, really. I definitely would like to donate them back to local libraries or to wherever, charity shops. So I won't keep everything. The books I know, the books I really love, I will keep because I don't have an issue with rereading. I think that's something. I think if you leave them a certain amount of time, you sort of know it's roughly how it ends, but there's still lovely bits.
Oh, there's nothing like rereading a book. It sounds a little bit like you feel a bit guilty about giving those books away. I say this because I am you. I'm like, I'm just going to... I've never read Pride and Prejudice. It's on my bookshelf. I have I'm caveating this. I have tried to read Pride and Prejudice about 15 times. Cannot get on with it. Do not like it. It just makes me angry and I put it down and I never finish it. But it stays on the bookshelf because I'm guilty and I'm like, one day when I'm ready, I'll come back for you.
I feel the same with Little Women. I've tried and there's just nothing to it. I'm struggling. And I when the film came out, I knew the film was coming out. Was it last year? Oh God, how many years ago? I went, right, I will read it first because I want to read it before I watch the film. And I still haven't got around to finishing it because I just struggle. It's a different language, really. It is English, but it's a different language. Some of the classics are so hard to get through. So
yeah,
there's no judgment there at all. Pride and Prejudice, I absolutely love. It takes me so much longer to get through them, though. It's a different language. Just don't touch yourself. And I think there's something in that. There's something quite important that if you're not enjoying it, good God, don't finish it. You don't have to make yourself miserable. Right. You know, but yes, definitely feel guilty. It's like a little piece of it. I feel bad for not liking a book, which is ridiculous. Because I tend to sound quite...
It doesn't know. We don't.
It's not
like
a real
it.
Thing. But I feel bad. I'm normally quite good at picking books that I like, and I sound very positive in some of the things that I say about books I read because I know what I like. So I'm going to pick things that I like. Sure, there are some books that are more not meant to be happy, nice books, but are important to read. And it's not that I dislike, but you know, some fictions that like this. What was it called? Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine. It's absolutely fine. That one, so many people raved about it. And I just, creeps me out. There was a point in the book, I won't spoil it if anyone's not read it, but it's not particularly potent to the story, but there's a part in the book that just really gave me the shivers. And from that moment on, I was like, I just can't do it. It's just a bit, ugh. And this is, you know, there's a handful of things. And you get books that go on to big prize lists and get long listed. And you go, how on earth did that get there?
But I mean to your point earlier is I think that which is why it's so great that you support independent kind of booksellers and businesses is because these are the books that get, you know, have the budget from the publishers and they're able to get into the press and it takes like champions like you to kind of help support like, you know, an industry that perhaps doesn't have that sort of like super blockbuster marketing budget essentially. So like in terms of like your where you're at with your business at the moment, are you concerned, right, in any way, shape or form about the decline of people wanting to read like physical books or the decline in general of attention spans? We were just talking about this for people, you know, because there is a thing, there's studies that have said that people aren't as good at taking in information in long periods anymore. It's 15 seconds and on TikTok, you know, you don't want to know it. Like, do you feel like that your people are still going to be out there and that this is a business that could potentially grow?
I do actually. I'm not concerned. And that's not just because I'm in it and I'm one of the people that will still want it. I think especially lockdown, a lot of people went back to reading. Books can do a lot of things for us. We can escape geographically with books, you know, we can escape to a different country, we can escape to a whole other world, you know. So I don't think that'll ever go away. And like when e-readers came out, I'm so glad, you know, that they did, and the studies have come out that now, you know, books are still rising. No one's putting down a book over a key, you know, we're still going. So I think lockdown brought a lot of people back to reading. And in terms of attention span, I've got a really interesting one for you. So as an adult, hadn't in the past, definitely the past couple of years, have never thought to go sort of back to young adult fiction because I'm going, I'm an adult. And I'm sure a lot of other people think this and, you know, not particularly wrongly so. You read for your genre, kind of on your age maybe. But what I've actually put a couple of young adult books in my boxes because I was absolutely obsessed with them. And I think the way young adult novels are written is that there is so much excitement and not necessarily action, but so much beautiful writing and excitement, maybe excitement is the right word, in each chapter, that it has to keep your attention as younger adults. And I don't really know what age that is. Maybe that's 11 till 16. Maybe it's a slightly smaller age gap, but they have so much more per chapter and there's so much going on that it keeps you there. So I think with the right book, matching the right book and the right person, which might be a bit of a challenge, I guess. I think there's a lot to be said for young adult as a genre. I've come back to it and I'm absolutely in love with some of the things I've read recently, partially because of the brilliant stories and partially because they're so female strong. And I kind of go, these are the books I would have absolutely loved as a young adult, even before teenage years. And I go, I'm so excited for these young women to be doing that. But yeah, in terms of attention span, I think there are some great books out there. I think you've just got to read what you want to read. There's no point reading stuff that you don't want to read just because everyone else is reading it. I had a great chat with them on a different podcast about people being embarrassed about reading fantasy or reading something that maybe is not mainstream, might not be the right word, but seen as cool. And you just go, no, read what you want to read, because that's going to get you most excited about reading. And if you want to branch out, you can come back to something that you love. I will always love contemporary romance. I will always love a rom-com. I will whiz through it. I will eat it up. I'm such a hopeless romantic. And that's absolutely fine. I have absolutely no shame talking about that. But and the fantasy is great as well. The young adult stuff has so much in there. So I think if you're struggling in terms of dullness, then maybe it's not simplified, it's not boring to read, it just grabs you a little bit more and keeps you a little bit more there, because maybe as teenagers we're not used to, I don't know what the right words are, I'm babbling a little bit now, but I don't think I am concerned. And maybe, that is just because I'm finding the right books. But I think stumbling upon young adult as a genre has...
Interesting, because back in the noughts, obviously the most grown-up of grown-up adults were all reading Harry Potter on the train, and in the beginning when it all caught on, this is really good and adults can read this, there's people reading it behind newspapers, and then they brought out editions that had grown-up covers, mm-hmm. So it wasn't clear, and then after a while it was just actually it's okay to kind of read younger fiction. I love that. So Where are you planning to, take the business? Is this something that you think might eclipse the kind of work that you're doing in the engineering section, or is this a really happy side hustle for you?
I think right now.
Or do you not know?
I mean, honestly, I don't know. It's what was really interesting is seeing sort of when you start businesses, it's especially a product business, you've got family and friends that go to rush to support you, which is wonderful. You couldn't start without that. But seeing that sort of trail off to an extent, which you'd expect and you want, because you don't just want to sell to family and friends, you want to sell to your ideal client. Watching that move, which I think we're out of now with the bookish mindset, and watching that continue to grow, I'm amazed in a very positive way that it's still going, because it was still saying, right, I'll do 3 months and I'll see what happens after that. Let's assess. I don't just want to be throwing money down the drain, and by all means it's not. I think I've passed that stage of this will actually work now. I'm past that bit. There's huge imposter syndrome with that. I said, I'll just wait and see if it works. It doesn't matter if it doesn't, it's just a test. Now it's at the point of, this is a viable business. This is scary now. Oh, well, okay. No, right now I'm really enjoying the split. It's continuing to grow, and that's right now, that's all that matters. I'm connecting with these incredible people that love the same kind of books I do, and then are passing them on to friends and saying how much they love them, and this is wonderful sort of small still community that I'm creating from it. So right now I'm just loving it as it is. If it grows more and I find more people that fall back in love with reading, then that's brilliant. In an ideal world, maybe I'd do part-time engineering, part-time this. I don't know how that split looks, but right now I'm very happy as it is. Let's see where this goes kind of thing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm lucky that I don't have to rely on it financially. I think that's where I am. I'm just very fortunate.
Well, because then the love can come in, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's no scary pressure from that side, which is lovely. So
this is a really tough question, and I'm going to put you on the spot with this one. And you don't have to be held to it. And I'm pretty sure you're going to walk around it before you decide on it. But give us your favorite book, please.
Don't make me do that. Okay. Can I walk around it by saying, can I give you one fiction and one non-fiction?
Yes, you can do that.
Okay. Fabulous. Right.
I knew you would.
I really should prepare for this more because so many people ask me this and I just avoid it every time.
I guessed you would. I guess you would because you are like an online virtual librarian, right? And you are giving out all the examples all the time. You can't be seen to have favorites, but we want you to tell us what's your favorite two books.
Okay, so I'll start by fiction while I try and think of the nonfiction. and I will caveat that by saying favorites so far, because not because this isn't good, but I'm sure there's always more books.
I'm talking to a book lover. She won't be able to answer this question.
So hard. Right. Loving Colour by Bolu Babalola is my favourite fiction at the moment, but definitely that I've read in a long time. It is a series of short stories. They are myths and legends from around the world reimagined with women at the centre. And I'm absolutely obsessed with it. It was in one of my boxes because I haven't shut up about it. I thought it's just got to go in. I just need people to read this. And I just love it so much. It's so strong. It's so feminist. So strong role models, protagonists. I love it.
Can you repeat? Can you just, because it glitched very slightly there. So can you just read the book title for me?
That's called Love in Colour.
Love in Colour.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Brilliant.
Beautiful. If you don't like short stories, just read this and try it. Previous to this, I wasn't particularly a fan of short stories, but I kept trying. And they just throw you in there and they leave you wanting more. I really would love a book on each of them. My writing's incredible. They're from around the world. I only sort of grew up in education, learned about Greek and Roman. And this is sort of very European, but they are from the Africas, the Australasias, the Americas, and they're just, they're amazing. Utterly amazing.
Awesome. I love the passion in that. And then you've had enough time to think of your nonfiction.
I still don't know. What have I read that I've loved? Right. I am going to choose something maybe a little bit personal. It's called Hood Feminism by Mickey Kendall. And the tagline is for the white feminism forgot. I really should have brought her sat with me. It's called Hood Feminism, and it is about something I'm very kind of passionate about, you might be able to tell already. It's feminism, strong female role models. I've all my life been in engineering and I'm wonderfully supported, and I haven't had too much of chaos with that. I've got a wonderfully supportive family. From that, I've not had the horrible experiences that some people have, but very much have known I am the odd one out there. Very much the odd one out. And growing up with that sort of ready to fight sort of mentality has been really interesting, not in a sort of obstructive way, but just very aware. And so when I started to learn about feminism, read about it, and grant, you know, that's only been the last sort of 5 or so years, started to really look into feminist theory. As a white woman, it's very easy to look at white women's issues. And and it's very easy to say that now, having done lots of research, lots of education, but it's very easy to see that and just only look at the problems you as a woman face. For example, no women in engineering, no women doing this, there's not enough women CEOs, and that's all very well and good, but that's not all women's problems. There's so many other issues that do affect all women, do affect so many more women. But feminism very much about your feminism being intersectional and fighting for all women, and really all women of all races, of all religions. Mm-hmm. And it's such a brilliantly written, hard-hitting slap in the face book. And I don't mean that in the please don't read it, but I mean it's good and it's needed. That's one that's stuck with me and I keep referring back to it. I really loved it. So that's why that is up there.
Amazing, Nikki. Thank you for your recommendations. And look, thank you so much for coming to chat about the British mindset with us as well. And like, it's a theme that's run through, like I said, of these interviews where the passion comes through. Mm. And the fact that you've kind of looked around and thought, what is it, something that I really love, and I love it so much I need to get it out there and talk to other people about it, and that's just like shone throughout our chat. and discussion today. It's just like the kind of the books come first, the issues, the discussions, mm-hmm. the next level thinking that kind of comes with being a book reader and an interested book reader as well. And you know, like you're, it's infectious. I've already Googled the two titles you're talking about. I can't wait to follow and find out more about the titles you recommend.
Thank you so much.
On Instagram as well. And I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this feels the same as well. And can you let us all know how to find you online, please?
Of course. So from social media, I'm mostly active on Instagram, and that's at The Bookish Mindset. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook, it's The Bookish Mindset, and Twitter, it's Bookish Mindset, because The Bookish Mindset doesn't fit, annoyingly. Everything is bought through my website, which is thebookishmindset.com. Everything's on there, information. If you've got any questions, hit me up on any of those social medias, or drop me an email at Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, at thebookishmindset.com. I love to talk books. You may have got that by this point. So I won't just talk and sell the books that are in my boxes. I'm so happy to just give recommendation for anything. I don't read everything. I've not read every book by all means, but I definitely can point you in the direction of some, or someone that might know instead.
Spoken like a true expert. You don't know everything, but I can help you and tell you where. Well, I'll make sure all the links are in the show notes as well. And do go and check out Nikki and The Bookish Mindset, definitely on Instagram as a starting point, and go and check the site out as well, everyone. And again, Nikki, thank you so much for coming to chat with me today about your business.
Thank you too. It's been a pleasure.